It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's continue our Illini basketball conversation. Wanted to get to a couple of your texts about Ben Hamrickhaus, the new Illini committed yesterday to Brad Underwood on the program. We were talking a little bit off air, Kyle. Those pictures that he put out, the full staff was pretty funny.
That one, you already know that, like, when Illinois beats a team next year, that just still shot of Brad will be, like, spammed in the comment section of, like, the Michigan Twitter account's final score tweet.
No doubt. That's a great call. I like that. Brad, this one, not that he's not thrilled with Kylan Boswell, because I think he is, Trey White, Kerry Booth. I think this was, if Brad had a quote-unquote guy in the portal, I think Marcus Damask was it last year. And I feel like Ben Hamrickhaus became it this year. Just feel like he fell in love with all that he can do offensively, and the more that they thought about just the way that they want to play, and some parallels between him and Damask. I think also being an older guy and blending with some of these younger transfers that can play multiple years, like Kylan's still only 19 and Kerry Booth is 18 and those type of things. I feel like they like his maturity, his mindset, and just who he is both on and off court, but definitely his offensive skill set is just tantalizing. And I think Illini fans got to be fine with maybe even being once again offensively geared. Not saying it's going to be a team that's going to struggle to get stops. I don't know that for certain. I think Kylan can be a good on-ball guy. I think that Merez comes in as a five. That's one of his strengths, is athleticism and length around the rim. Like, but being able to score and present mismatches, make shots, those are good qualities to have for a team.
Can I just make one suggestion to, like, whoever sets up the official visits and the photo shoots? Let's get a better jersey number than 52 for the photos.
Is that, like, what all of them wear?
I don't know, but I know someone, I tweeted that picture out, and someone in the comments was like, we got to do better than 52. I'm like, oh, I just noticed that. Yeah, 52, yuck. Can we give them like one or something? Like, let's get a little cooler, right? 52.
That's a good call.
Maybe who's the last 52 you can remember on a basketball team? Can you even name one?
No. I don't think so. I don't know if you just don't want to give them... Like the Illinois 11 is sacred.
Yeah.
All they gave it to Nico Moretti. By the way, Nico Moretti in the portal. Were we on in the air for that?
We did. Yeah, we did talk about that Monday.
My memory's a little spotty at this point. But, yeah, so you got to earn your actual number by committing. But, yeah, I get it with the 52. I guess we'll see. We'll see if that gets passed along. What's the sexiest number to put on a – on a jersey, what would that be? Would it be the one? I mean, that's with all the NFL draft. I think probably the NBA draft guys flash for the picture with Goodell when they get picked. Maybe it should just be one.
What would Hamrickhaus's best number? Because there's a certain like number that would suit him well. I feel like it's in the 30s, like a 32 maybe for him.
I like that. You just give him Coleman's jersey, put a 33 on him.
I could do that. and just say, yeah, you're our next Coleman.
We are going to talk about Coleman Hawkins here in a second. He is in the transfer portal. He had a statement that he put out regarding that, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But I did, once again, want to get to some of the Hamrickhaus-related texts. 217, not saying he's him at all, but he reminds me of Dalton Knecht as far as mobility, similar size, both good shooters from smaller programs. Dalton Knecht became an All-American, was the top transfer addition in the portal last year. I think obviously that'd be okay if he turned into that.
If he's Dalton Knecht, Illinois will be just fine next year.
Yeah. Anthony says Marcus Griffin was 52. That's a good call.
Oh, no.
Good call. 651 said, of course, the number that you should throw on all the visitors is 23. I mean, who doesn't? Big Def. I can't go in that direction. Anyways. Jeff says, compare Hamrickhaus to Matthew Meyer. Compare or apples to oranges. Also, with Coleman entering the portal, in my opinion, that's a negotiating ploy if he does indeed come back to college. Let's do the Hamrickhaus-Matthew Meyer comp here, and we'll get into Coleman Hawkins here in a second. How are they different? How are they similar? It's harder to compare in terms of the level because Matthew Meyer was playing on a national title team at Baylor and played in the Big 12. We got to see what Benham Rickhouse looks like in a high major environment in the Big Ten, that type of competition. But I think in terms of just the overall skill, Meyer was a better athlete. Like, Meyer was more rangy. Meyer was had an ability to get by guys. Not that he was, like, super bursty. I mean, there's a difference between Matthew Meyer taking you off the dribble than Terrence Shannon, obviously. But I think that more of a natural post guy, more on his frame in terms of him Rickhouse, where Matthew Meyer was a little bit more just kind of lanky, I would say. And then shot-making profile, like it seems like, and again, it's a small sample size. We're talking about 1 year for him Rickhouse in the Valley, but his numbers on catch and shoots and just being a pure shooter seem to give the advantage to him as far as Matthew Meyer goes. Now, we know that Meyer, when he was on, could just be that NBA Jam on fire like he was against Texas, and some moments for Illinois at Wisconsin, he was great. I think I'm Rickhouse is kind of more that pure shooter. What have you seen, Kyle, to kind of make that differentiator between the two?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit on it. Meyer was just more of that athlete, NBA potential, toolsy. I mean, Rickhouse is just more of a he is what he is type of guy. I feel like mm-hmm. Meyer just had so much untapped potential and was just more of a he looked the part of a stretch four type of athletic front court piece, whereas I think Hum Rickhouse is obviously a lot less athletic, but probably a better just spot up shooter. I mean, I don't know. It's a tough comparison. I think they're pretty different. I think you hit on it mainly.
Yeah, and defensively, Matthew Meyer, he had moments for Illinois.
Was the
where
best
he was,
defender in college basketball history, right?
That's what he said. I haven't met Benham Rickhouse. I've exchanged some texts with him, so I can't fully claim to know him. I would say he's probably a little more sane than Matthew Meyer.
That's a good point.
Is that fair?
Yeah. Well, I would hope he is. I would hope he is, yeah.
Man, some of the stories that we've heard about Matthew Meyer. Even
yeah, what about the energy drink comp? So it says, can he drink 5 monsters in a row?
I don't know. I think Come Rickhouse might just be more like a black coffee guy, just kind of more traditional, right down the middle, you know what you're going to get type of thing, yeah. Where Matthew Meyer's the 5 or 6 monsters and see what happens type of playing video games on a given night. I don't know. We'll learn more about Benham Rickhouse as we go along, but I feel like he's just different players. Of course, there are some similarities in terms of like the height and the shooting and whatnot, but I feel like there are some differences too. Let's get to one more. I know that Big Def had something to say about Rickhouse. He said that I, in all caps, love the get, and at no point was I worried, but it does seem as you and Jeremy have different impressions of Rickhouse's athleticism. What are your thoughts on that? And was it a lingering injury for him last year? I don't know about the injury. I would have to get more background on maybe why I didn't play the last two games. In the postseason, it might have just been he was good, he was done, and knew that he was moving on. But I don't know as far as the foot. It did seem like he was still productive as soon as he came back. He had a couple of games and you know, 20-plus points and those type of things. Yeah, I need to watch him more, too, defensively. I think that there is an idea that, you know, he's not a bad athlete versus – I'm not saying that he is. I just feel like guarding in space is something that he's going to struggle with against, like, dynamic, sure, explosive wings or if he gets switched onto a guard, like, who can kind of size him up and blow by. Like, that, those are things that he's just not going to do well. Then again, a lot of 6'9 guys, a lot of guys playing the four aren't going to be able to do that all that great. So I do need to dive in a little bit more on what some of the defensive stuff looks like. And then also I think it's fair to say, like, you always hold out a little bit of judgment. Both, it could be positive, like it could be a pleasant surprise. Like he holds his own better defensively than you would have thought. But also, some of the tape you'd watch in the Valley, and I'm not trying to knock the Valley or say that I think it's a really good league. There are just some guys as far as athletically that it's hard to judge. Like if he's playing SIU or Illinois State. I'm going to make some people mad out there. Lante, angry text incoming. But
who's that?
Yeah, right.
Lante.
He was on this show at one point. Had a really nice career, and then he said that when he did retire, he was not actually going to retire. He just wasn't going to show up.
Oh, and boy.
So now we're kind of caught in this weak cycle where he hasn't been here. So he might have silently retired, but who knows? Who knows? Yeah, I think, again, just we'll see what he looks like against better athletes. I just kind of the overall.
And the text is here.
Oh, he's there. What's up? What did he say?
Watch it.
There it is. There it is.
He's always
like
listening.
Clockwork. He's in the outfield somewhere with a cooler that doesn't have beer in it and a little radio or earbuds. Surely he doesn't have like Bluetooth earbuds.
No, he actually did get those. He didn't know what they were called, though. He asked me, what are these? The air something?
Oh, yeah, AirPods?
And I'm like, yeah, they're AirPods.
Wow.
And he was like, am I like 10 years late on this? I'm like, yeah, pretty much, yeah. I got these like 2018 or something.
Par for the course. I don't think Benjamin Rickhouse is the least athletic player that's going to defend in the Big Ten. I don't think he's average as far as that goes with foot speed and those type of things, especially in space. Again, I think if he's guarding fours, as a guy that's 6'9", 220, we saw like Luke Goody trying to defend Malik Hall last year. What did Malik Hall want to do with him? He wanted to play in the mid post. He wanted to play physical, back him down. Those type of things. Like, I think Benham Rickhouse will fare just fine in those type of senses. It's kind of the if you get caught in switches, if you get caught on a three slash someone that's playing the four, that's kind of a more dynamic wing. That's one thing I would wonder about.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, I just think I'm so intrigued by his offensive upside. I don't think Marcus Damask was guarding a lot of people last year. He wasn't. Mm-hmm. Awful, but
right.
I mean, you get enough scoring punch from a guy, and I also just think the size counts for something. When you have a 6'9", big-bodied forward, he's not going to get thrown around by,
of course,
front court players. So I think it's almost more the mismatches if Illinois switching too aggressively, and he's trying to stay in front of a really athletic wing or a guard. I'd get concerned, but I don't necessarily think he's going to be a guy that just gets pushed around and totally exploited by every four that Illinois is going to see. I think he'll be fine.
Yep. I agree with you on that. You can call me Sal. I thought Chester took Lon with him. Somebody
on to Morgantown.
Yeah. Let's watch the announcements of any new radio programming in Morgantown. Got to make sure that Lon didn't secretly portal. Maybe he sent a text.
I mean, yeah.
Did he send a text to anybody that he was out?
If he sent us a text in our group message and said, I'm thinking about entering the portal, then he's good. He entered in time. Is that what did you have to do now?
Yeah,
is this you send a text to somebody and you're good?
If no one gets that reference, Matt Norlander sent out a tweet today that said, so the date to get into the portal, there was a little bit of confusion because it had been published as April 30th, right?
It was published as May 1st, but I think people thought like
up until May 4th, not through May 1st, right? And like then somebody put out something like, well, grads have an extra day versus not grad, which I don't even know if that was true or not. But anyways, Matt Norlander, CBS Sports, says part of the rule of the deadline is you don't have to have your paperwork all completely filed and faxed and signed, sealed, delivered to be in the portal. You don't have to have that done by May 1st. As long as you have communicated to your athletic department in some capacity.
Any single person in the athletic department.
That you are leaving. Even, and Kyle, you go ahead and fill in the real kicker there. Even a text. You could text somebody, hey, I plan on leaving. Anybody in the athletic department, as long as that can be time-stamped back to before May 2nd at midnight, then you can go into the transfer portal. So I joked with you before the show. Number one, this is completely ridiculous. And I will
use
this.
You've had 60 days, is that right? Or
yeah,
30, 40? Well, how long has it been?
Because it's open mid-March. Sunday.
So is what, like a 45-day window maybe?
That sounds about right, yeah.
You can't get your paperwork filed and be in the portal? Like we've had since March to do this. I mean, why do we need, let's end it. It needs to be a hard end. If you're entering the portal, you probably have known that for a long time. Let's get the paperwork done. Let's go. We don't, this is ridiculous. If we start hearing portal entries a week and a half from now, dating back to a text that was sent tonight at 11:30, that we're, it's just way too far. Come on.
It's dumb. It's very dumb. I will say that I'm going to use this now. If I'm supposed to be somewhere at, say, 5 o'clock, and I text you at 4:59 that I'm on my way, per the NCAA, I pretty much, I'm good. I'm
in there.
I'm there. Yeah. I'm in. I'm not late. So someone's going to, like, send a text to an athletic trainer today, tonight. You know, I think I'm going to leave, and that player will be in the portal by May 15th.
What if somebody shows up to, like, summer workouts in June and they don't like it there and they go back to their text and they were, like, joking around with somebody, like, what if I entered the portal? And they're like, see, I entered. Let's do this. Let's get the paperwork rolling.
I was going to say, that's someone could probably try to use that. The number of players that have probably sent a text that says, I'm going to transfer, I'm thinking about transferring, are probably just astronomical. Of those who haven't even, you know, pursued the portal or just had conversations with somebody.
Literally just joking around in the team group chat when somebody, like, makes fun of them. They're like, all right, that's it, I'm transferring.
Yeah. Or actually legitimately unhappy, but then don't actually follow through with it. I don't know. Can only imagine how many times Sincere Harris texted somebody, I'm going to transfer, and then now that you can edit on iMessage, then deleted it. I know I pick on Sincere a decent amount, but just the because I have to I follow all these guys and get notifications just for anything that pops up. I would get all the tweets for Sincere that he would post for like 5 seconds, then delete. So little did he know, someone like me could see all of what he tweeted, but then he would just end up deleting it anyway. So I don't know. It's just kind of a little running joke I have, not really with him, but more so about him.
Anyway. We should probably talk about the guy that entered the portal from Illinois.
Yep.
Decently big name. Some people know him.
Yeah, I think so. I think some know him.
Some people familiar with his Twitter account, maybe.
Yeah, that's another way to recognize him. And some will. I'm interested what the text line is going to say about this as far as how they feel about it. But we'll catch a break before we do that. Until then, though, we got to do a little work to pay the bills. On the note of money, let me tell you about Busey and their financial advice for college graduates. Their dedication's paid off, their college diploma is in hand, and as they enter the workforce, prepare to have your financial future with Busey. Exercise smart spending, live within your means. Busey has some tips for those recent college graduates or soon-to-be college graduates. A few of those: focus on building an emergency fund, pay down debt, save for retirement, create a budget with complimentary resources and expert advice with Busey, and visit their blog at busey.com called Money Matters, where you can find financial calculators, including how much car can I afford, how long will it take to pay off my credit card, some financial assessments to really help you get involved and evaluate your options to your money questions. Their experts can also help you with outcome-based investing, retirement and estate planning, tax planning, risk management. Let Busey put you on the path to success with customized solutions for your financial needs. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations. Busey, member FDIC.
Better banking experiences start with local people and local decision making. Hi, this is Ryan Heiser, President and CEO of Fisher National Bank. We are a locally owned community bank that has served the area since 1955. Fisher National is rooted in the communities we serve. We pride ourselves on providing financial resources that match or better the mega banks. We are your friends and neighbors who are involved in your communities and take a vested interest in seeing our customers thrive and prosper. Offering a line of rewarding consumer-centric deposits, home mortgages, small business banking, and agricultural lending. There are no compromises banking local with Fisher National. Our convenient online and mobile tools are second to none. We'll work hard to meet your financial needs and earn your trust. Learn more about Fisher National at fishernational.com or stop by one of our branches. Our team looks forward to serving you.
Fisher National Bank. Exceptional communities, exceptional people. Member FDIC.
Every month we celebrate law enforcement at Stevie J Broadcasting. Officer Sarah Links is our law enforcement official of the month from the Urbana Police Department. They say you're a star. Congratulations.
Ooh. Oh, thank you. I don't know about being a star, but I appreciate that.
Well, you've done this work for a number of years in your patrol.
I have. I've been with Urbana for 18, and I've been doing this a total of 22 years.
What drew you to law enforcement?
Right. I always joke and tell people I never want to pick out my outfit every day, but actually, I just wanted to help people, and I like to problem solve, and I get a different problem every day to solve.
It's never the same.
It is never the same.
Keep up your great work. We certainly appreciate the vast majority appreciate what police do.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you appreciate for your support, because we do greatly appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you. Officer Sarah Links, our law enforcement official of the month, brought to you by MX Electric.
Relax, call back 217-359-7293.
Coming Saturday, June 22nd, it's the Cardinal Bus Trip, brought to you by Route 66 Solar. Yes, join us for a beautiful day in St. Louis as we take on the San Francisco Giants. For information about our suite and all the beverages and food that are included and a wonderful motor coach from Timmy Tours, simply text in BUS to 217-359-2255. Join us Saturday, June 22nd for the annual Cardinal Bus Trip from ESPN 93.5.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Thank you for choosing Two Men in a Truck. How may I help you?
Hey, we're moving, and I have a strange situation here. We need to be out of our house by 10 a.m., but our closing on the new house isn't until 1 p.m. Is that something you guys do?
That's not strange at all. Two Men in a Truck has completed over 9 million moves. We have a solution for that.
Not sure how your move is going to work? Go to twomeninatruck.com to start your free estimate. Twomeninatruck.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstowing.com.
All right, let's get to it. We've delayed it enough. Let's talk some Coleman Hawkins here on The Drive with Dan Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Coleman is, of course, declared for the NBA draft. He's made it clear that that's his 100% intention of pursuing that route, staying in the draft. At least that's what he said so far. But on the note of the deadline for the portal, there's been some, I'll even credit Kyle here. Kyle's got some sources on campus. He's even been like, hey, you know, I'm hearing this and hearing that. And I from a couple of different people, heard some buzz here and there of, you know, look out for this. Don't be surprised if this. And one of those things is, hey, if Coleman decides to expand and explore fully his options by going into the transfer portal, and that's what he did yesterday, I think officially hit today. Matt Norlander said that on Twitter that he is currently in the portal. He has a no contact designation. That's, I know that's usually kind of a heads up to schools, like, don't reach out to me. Let me be the one to initiate some of the dialogue, and I can pick and choose who I actually want to field calls from and whatnot. In my experience, or just based on what I know, no contact doesn't necessarily mean that no contact happens. And it just is more of that. I'm not freely giving out my phone number to anybody that has access to the portal. I'm going to field, you know, 75 calls from people. It could even be more than that. But what do you make of Coleman going into the portal, Kyle? And I want to voice this out to the text line too, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta League text line. Thoughts, reaction for somebody that really carries kind of he's a loyalty poster boy for the Brad Underwood era. I know that Trent Frazier and Demonte Williams deserve to be in that. I don't think Ayo Dosunmu should be cast away from that just because he went to the NBA after 3 years. Kofi Coburn was here for 3 years. So he's not a lone ranger in this sense, but it is to go from Brad Underwood recruit all the way through 4 years. He's thought to be in a different level of company of the recent era for Brad. Does that change if he does actually pull out of the draft and go somewhere else via the portal? Just what do you make of that?
I'm not surprised by the move at all. I think it makes a lot of sense just in general. If you're somebody who's going through the NBA draft process, but you're not somebody, you think that there's a decent likelihood that you would pull out and come back to school, why wouldn't you go in the portal? Like, legitimately, why would you not keep all those options open? And also, with the way it lines up, the withdrawal deadline for the NBA draft, I believe, is May 29th this year. If Coleman Hawkins goes to the combine, goes through the draft process, doesn't get the feedback he wants, and on May 29th decides, actually, I want to play my fifth year in college, all of a sudden, 95% of the portal's committed. And the supply-demand dynamic is tilted far greater towards the demand aspect of Coleman Hawkins' services. There's not a lot of supply left there for teams that want a big man, for teams that want a proven high major, all conference level contributor. And you know what that's going to do for Coleman's pockets?
Of course.
It's going to make him pretty deep with some cash. Mm-hmm. And that, I just, it makes all the sense in the world from his perspective to say, if I decide that I want to come back to school, why would I not enter the portal, even if Coleman said, there's no way I'm playing anywhere other than Illinois? Even if he was dead set on coming back to Illinois, he can come back to Illinois and the NIL office or the collective at that point and say, look, I'm one of the only, you know, all conference players left in the portal. Listen to some of these offers that are getting thrown my way. It's time for you to step it up. It's all leverage for him. And it makes all the sense for him individually. And that's kind of a flaw in the system more mm-hmm. than anything. Mm-hmm. But you can't blame a player for wanting to take advantage of that. And to answer the second part of your question, let's say Coleman really does decide to go play for another school. I don't find myself being too bothered by that, because in this whole COVID era where guys are playing 5 years, if you give 4 years to a school at this point, that's so rare now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so rare. And Coleman Hawkins has been a guy that has stuck around despite not playing early as a freshman. His role was up and down as a sophomore. He's already gone through the whole process of, you know, building up his minutes, building up his role, coming back, working hard, getting better. All of a sudden, as a senior, he's a huge part of an Elite Eight team. You give that to my program, I mean, that's all I can ever ask for. If he wants to go play on the West Coast, closer to where his family is, for his fifth year of college basketball, if he doesn't end up going to NBA, I can't be be upset with that. And I know some people will be. And I know, like you said, Coleman Hawkins has been that poster child of like, well, amongst all the guys that have left and all the attrition Illinois had, there's been one guy that stayed through it and doesn't do all that stuff, and it's Coleman Hawkins. So if he did do it, that would probably sour that kind of narrative a little bit. But it's a guy gives you 4 years now. Like I just can't. And if he graduates from Illinois, which I'm sure he's on track to do,
yep,
upcoming here, yep, if he wants to go play one more year somewhere else, I'll root for him as long as it's not in the Big Ten.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page with all of that. Obviously, like you said, it's a brilliant business move for him in terms of going in the portal and maximizing that leverage that he would have. I know Bill on the U of I Atlanta League text line said that as well. Coleman had to enter the portal. He pulls out of the draft. He needs to have leverage for NIL. And that's true. That's true. I know that Coleman has phrased this as in his announcement yesterday or his comments, his release. He said that this really is protecting him from injury during the draft process, that type of thing. I don't know that that's all that's what is behind it, because you know how much levers does he have to say he gets hurt at the combine and then he comes back to school and he's an injured big man. I don't know what that would ultimately look like. There is just the risk of him not getting picked. I think the injury is part of it because it maybe has limited, especially what he was able to show defensively this past year. I know some of that was fit. Some of that was out of necessity for Illinois to play how they wanted offensively. They played him at the five and he wasn't able to have the same type of impact playing in drop coverage and those type of things. I'm not saying that the NBA was fooled by that or just completely like, well, you know, he was a great defender, now he's a bad defender, that type of thing. I think they fully understand what Coleman can be as a switchable forward, as a guy that can just have a lot of IQ and instincts at the defensive end along with his length, those type of things. He did answer, as we've said many, many times, the questions of, can he shoot a pretty decent to good percentage from three? And the answer is yes. Can he be a guy that's not a pop up and score 20, but then have three games in a row where he scores single digits and just not be someone that's very reliable offensively? He had a stretch this year where I think he was like 15 out of 16 games. He's in double figures. And so he showed that he could be more of a factor as a scorer this year. I think there were even flashes of him driving the ball to the basket a little bit more effectively and the turnover numbers, some of the decision-making. I know that the Penn State game on the road was the fact that was kind of an outlier this year was great for Coleman. He was more steady on the whole. He still had some of his Coleman moments, but on the whole, it was good Coleman. But yeah, I think with the portal itself, number one, guys are getting paid just ridiculous amounts of money. At least that's what's being buzzed about all around college basketball, is that just the NIL inflation this year in particular has been just ridiculous and crazy. And the players are benefiting for it, and it's great for them. And I think Coleman going in would be one of the top 10 players in the portal, maybe even one of the top five, depending on how you evaluate it. And he could get a boatload of cash to go to school somewhere if he decides to pull out of the draft. I think with the current rules in place as they are, I know that we just made fun of the kind of the text message thing. Could Coleman have like tried to play this under the radar a little bit more and texted Paul Schmidt about, hey, I want to go in the portal, and then, hey, don't report that until I have to pull out of the draft, type of thing. But in all seriousness, if this was last year, I don't think we would have heard anything from Coleman until he was kind of forced or decided to pull out of the draft. Then he'd go in the portal, because you were allowed to do that last year of waiting all the way until the end of the combine and then go through the pre-draft workouts and make your decision. And then, oh, look who's in the portal. Now he's coming back to college. That would be Coleman this year. And maybe if you take him at his word, like he fully is intent on staying in the draft, and there might not be this situation where he even goes in. And if he stays in, I think people will probably end up forgetting this anyway.
They'll
4-year player, played every minute of his college career at Illinois. And not that, you know, Kofi went in the portal and it didn't affect his legacy or his loyalty, because obviously he went back to Illinois.
I think you would ask like 80% of Illini fans if they even remember Kofi entering the portal. I know. And they'd be like, really?
Yeah.
Did he?
Like, oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. And Jeff Alexander followed him around at an AAU tournament in Atlanta to make sure that other coaches didn't brush shoulders with him. So I don't fault him. And I'll say this though, I said this when Jeremy and I talked about it on the Illini Inquirer podcast. If I'm handicapping the odds of different things to happen, I admittedly don't know exactly what his likelihood of staying in the draft is, because I don't know that he's going to be picked. I think he would be probably a mid to late second round pick. I think how he performs at the combine, how he tests physically, what the kind of evaluation is of the health and status of his knee is. Based on talking to people around the program, I don't think that it's felt to be some kind of like something he'll deal with the rest of his career. Like they feel like with the proper time to rest it, which they didn't have during the season, that he can probably fully recover. So I think that if he doesn't stay in the draft, I pretty heavily weight him portaling somewhere else versus coming back. I know, and I think that you're probably on the same page with that. I don't want to speak for you, but
no, I could put two and two together. I don't think he'll be back at Illinois. Yeah. As much as he came out with the well relaxed Twitter post, that just feels like a guy that, for as much as he has stayed and as much as he has bought into the old fashioned process of not leaving when you don't get the minutes you want and really building a legacy at Illinois, it does feel like he's never been always the happiest at some times with how things are going. I know for sure he was not happy having to play center last year.
Of course. He let people know that. And I'm sure that Kyle's on-campus sources told him that, but he said that publicly too. He's like, you had to read between the lines a little bit, but Coleman usually, like I've said a lot, will tell you what he thinks. He's going to show you the cards he has in his hand. Whether you like the cards or you don't like the cards, he's going to show them to you. And that was obvious last year that he felt like defensively some of the scheme and playing the five, playing in drop, hurt him as far as what it made him look like defensively and how effective he was able to be guarding fives and those type of things. So he didn't like that, and I get it for him for sure. I just think in general, I think both sides of this, obviously it's benefited immensely. Coleman being at Illinois, riding it out when he could have left, and Illinois helping to develop him, putting him in situations where he's won a lot of games and he's going to be remembered very fondly as a winner, as a guy that maybe is going to be an NBA draft pick and someone that is going to get a lot of favorable just recollection based on the loyalty that even will still last, I think, even if he does portal somewhere, like you said. But and then Illinois, of course, a rare occasion where someone sticks. So both sides have really benefited, and he played an integral role in Illinois offensively, having this evolution of spacing and mismatches and just kind of this unique front court piece that can handle the ball and that can shoot and that can do different things. And then defensively, when they were kind of switching and doing that type of scheme, that he's someone that can do that. I mean, how many fives, quote unquote fives, guys playing the five, let's just say that, guys playing the five can switch on to Boo Booey and Tyson Walker and not just get blown by immediately. Like Coleman Hawkins is on a very short list of that. What I'll then follow it up with, I think both sides are good with how it's ended, so to speak. I think both are good with the 4 years. I think Coleman is fine with leaving at this point and not really super interested in coming back and putting on the Illinois uniform again. And I think Illinois is like, hey, this was great. But kind of what I to not hide it as much, I think that Brad and Coleman are very strong personalities. I think they've butted heads even in the good times. Obviously, they were obvious earlier on when Coleman was being more erratic and his playing time was inconsistent, and that was very, very obvious of those two. Even in some of the good times, I think they've clashed some. They've put up with each other, and not saying that that's a bad thing. Like that happens anywhere in sports, but I feel like that's part of it too. And Illinois can't also probably get caught waiting around for Coleman either.
Like, oh, no.
They got to spend their NIL money. They got to fill this roster. And I don't have anything really totally bad to say on it. That's just kind of my gauge on kind of the different angles within this.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good summary of it. And I just, I just can't blame somebody for doing this at this point. It's just there's going to be some people that if Coleman transfers to somewhere in California or I know that you would think immediately like, okay, would he want to go back out west? There's going to be some big programs calling Coleman. If he's in the portal on like June 1st and there's some open scholarships open at like Kentucky, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody, I forget who it was saying like, go play alongside Hunter Dickinson at Kansas. Yeah. That would be hilarious. I think they're full. They've added a lot of guys. But point being, like, he'll have his pick of a lot of places. And I guess coming back to what I was originally going to say, like, I know there's plenty of people that would be very upset and probably hold it against Coleman if he were to transfer and if he were to play next year and it wasn't at Illinois, it'd just be another, you know, piece to say, like, the transfer portal, all these guys have no loyalty anymore and all that. It's the system more than anything. With the way NIL is set up, with the way the timeline is set up, like, these guys deserve to try and make the most money they can and do what's best for themselves. And that's what Coleman's doing here ultimately. And I think there's probably plenty of other places that would be willing to pay Coleman more than Illinois would next year. And if he wants to take that, then how could you possibly blame him for that? And it's, if you want to get mad at anybody, don't get mad at Coleman for, there's no loyalty anymore. Coleman's not loyal. This is ridiculous. I'm going to boo him next year.
Yeah, this has all been fake. You know, him in Illinois.
Get mad at the NIL, and plenty of people are already.
And even the COVID year, too.
In the COVID year, yeah. I mean, his career could just be over. He'd be automatically in the draft. I do think, though, he'll stay in the draft. I think he will. This class isn't good. I think he'll be a second-round pick when it's all said and done. If he's healthy at the combine, I think he'll do enough to garner second-round interest. And he also just ultimately has struck me as a guy that wants to be done with college.
Yeah.
I believe what he said in his tweet in which he was like, my full intention is to stay in the draft, and this is really just like, if I come back to school, then I want to make as much money as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he ultimately really wants to leave college.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that also has been part of what he said after the UConn game, where he said, I think that to take the next step with my game, I feel like the best place to do that is at the next level. He even said that in his quote, talking in the locker room afterwards. Now, he did say in another one, that was in part of my conversation with him, Joey Wagner talked to him. He said, hey, as a guy in my position, I have a lot of options right now. And I think that kind of hinted at maybe the portal too. But yeah, I get not really blaming him. Now, would it be weird if let's say he does, like, I think some of the West Coast stuff being closer to family, I think some people would be probably more accepting of that versus like if he just went to the biggest program with the biggest bag, like if he ended up at North Carolina.
Again, though, like,
yeah, no, I know
North Carolina calls your phone with like a million in NIL to play next to whoever they got.
If you're being rational about it, you don't really blame him. I think the fan side of it, like the emotional, like we hate North Carolina type of thing, people out there would probably just say, oh, that sucks. That rubs me the wrong way. Like seeing him play with Kansas and Hunter Dickinson, like some people just wouldn't like that. Not saying they would totally flip on Coleman. They would just be like, oh, this sucks.
I will say, Coleman, maybe don't follow in the footsteps of your buddy Luke Goody and like go to Indiana or Michigan.
See, like a program that people hate.
Like, let's not do that.
What if he goes to UCLA? Him and Sky Clark coming back
here. Yeah,
we should mention.
Schedule's out. Sky Clark will be making his return here. That will be a fun student section that night.
It will be. Let's before we wrap up the show, we got to catch a break. But when we return, we'll tell you the Big Ten opponents coming to State Farm Center for Illinois basketball next year. Will Luke Goody make his return to State Farm Center? You'll stick around to find out. This is The Drive.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
At Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people with amazing service, great design advice, and unbeatable selection, and the best prices in town. It's the perfect time to update your home with waterproof flooring, carpet, hardwood, tile, and more. Then complete your rooms by shopping our incredible selection of furniture and accessories. We also offer great financing options. Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people.
Here's another home improvement insight from Kramer Siding and Window, a proud member of Prairie Home Alliance. A new front door can instantly upgrade the look of your home and make it more energy efficient. The Kramer Siding and Window team can also install French doors to your deck or patio, welcoming the outside in, or storm doors for an extra layer of protection against the elements. The estimate is free, financing is available, and the business is local. Schedule your beautiful new door today and save 25%. Call us, click on kramersiding.com, or visit the showroom in Champaign.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience. Several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
Finishing up on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Yes, Sky Clark is coming back to Champaign. The UCLA Bruins are on the home schedule for Illinois on the basketball side. Let's get you those opponents. Those were released today by the program for conference play. Let's start with the home onlys. That means programs that are only playing Illinois in Champaign. Illinois will not be going on the road to meet them. Iowa, Maryland, Ohio State, Penn State, Purdue, UCLA, and USC. So no trip to Mackey, no trip to Carver-Hawkeye, no trip to Pauley Pavilion. As someone covering the team, I'm a little bummed not going to Mackey. Or I've been waiting for a trip to Pauley ever since UCLA has been announced. And Carver-Hawkeye is always a fun. I like playing Iowa twice, but... You okay with not getting a home and home with Purdue this year and only playing them once in Champaign?
Yeah, I'm totally fine not going to Mackey Arena. Totally fine.
Aways.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Aways only. You'll notice there was a mission there in the homes. Aways only. Indiana. Yes, Luke Goody will not be coming back to Champaign to play against the Illini next year. Illinois will have to go see him in Bloomington. So Indiana only on the road, Michigan only on the road, Minnesota, Nebraska, Oregon, Rutgers, and Washington on the road only as well. You're still going to the rack, or you're going to face Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. That should be interesting. Nebraska, wonder what that's going to be like. Always a good environment there. And then the home and aways, the teams, there are only three of them. As this conference has expanded, the amount of teams you only play, the amount of teams you play twice have been decreasing significantly. Wonder if we'll ever get to a point of protected rivalries in basketball. I don't know. I wonder how people would feel about that.
I would like it. You're rotating. You got 18 teams now, and you're only going to get three home and homes every year. Why not just make them the same three? Now, I know that there's going to be some imbalance there. So will
you're
the
trying
conference
to win a Big Ten
title,
yeah.
But there's going to be that every year regardless. And at the end of the day, I do think conference titles are going to get kind of watered down here a little bit anyway. And, like, I'd love to see two Illinois-Iowa basketball games every season. I don't care if Iowa has a great five-year run coming up or whatnot. Or, honestly, give me Illinois-Purdue twice every year, even though I freaking hate Mackey Arena. But
I want Indiana twice.
Indiana twice, sure. Northwestern twice would not be quite as exciting, but I'd do it.
Yeah.
I'd do it, especially for all those Chicago Illini fans getting to go to a game every year in Evanston.
It's true.
Which I was for a long time. I would like to. I know the one interesting thing I did notice is that the West Coast teams joining are all playing each other twice. That's it. Like, so they're all, it's just a roundabout of the four playing each other. They don't play any of the traditional Big Ten teams twice.
Interesting.
I wonder if that'll.
If that's going to hold?
Yeah. I wonder if that's something that will happen most seasons, if not all. And if that's the case, like, that makes sense. Like, let those four have their own little pod, and those four can each play the other three twice every year, and then let the other natural rivalries within the rest of the conference, you know, give me two Indiana-Purdue games every year. Give me two Michigan-Michigan State games every year. Obviously, we just talked about the, like, that would make some sense to me, I think. But obviously, that would cloud a conference title. It'd be the Mickey Mouse title if your protected rivalries were like Rutgers.
I was gonna say Rutgers protected rivalries would be like Penn State.
Oh boy, yeah.
Maryland, and who else?
I don't know. Just throw them like, I don't know, Purdue or something, just to like balance it. Just be like, well, you guys aren't rivals at all, but we're gonna make it harder.
Yeah. The three that Illinois gets, these are matchups that I like seeing. You'll get Michigan State twice, you'll get Northwestern twice, and you'll get Wisconsin twice.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I think just even from the like a,
those are fun games.
A traditionalist standpoint of the Big Ten, like those are games you want to see. And yeah, those are all fun games for
Brad
Illinois.
Underwood's streak against Greg Garden Company going to be put to the test twice.
No,
what is that? Is that seven in a row now?
I think that's right.
After the Big Ten title?
Yeah. No AJ Store on Illinois side to make that one extra spicy, but anyways, still be a
those two teams are going to look very interesting next year.
I agree, I very much agree. Yeah, Michigan State. Jeremy Fear is going to be the starting point guard for Michigan State next year.
Yeah, let's protect that one 2 years down the line.
Yeah,
let's get two Jeremiah Jeremy matchups.
Let's do that.
I'll take that.
I like that as well for sure. And there you have it. That's all we got for you. We had a lot to catch up on, especially hoops related. Hamrickhouse commits, Hawkins to the portal, have a schedule, at least a framework for one. We didn't even mention a lot of the national stuff. Janelle Davis is going to Arkansas. Kentucky got Kobe Brea and Kirk Kareza out of nowhere. Good luck with that one.
What in the world?
Yeah, so.
I mean, I guess you got to fill a roster.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, I heard a rumor that somebody is going to be back tomorrow, he claims. Like, the Ron, is it Ron? John?
Ron J.
Yeah.
John J. Oh, yeah. He wasn't even.